and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And here we are again.
Yelling into the computer.
Yelling!
Yeah.
Laptop yelling into the computer.
Figured it was,
Yeah, it's time. We haven't done it in a while.
Well, not just, I just didn't bring my gear.
Yeah, I know. So. Just say it's time, you know, every once in a while. I'd like to shake it up with the old laptop shouting.
All right. I mean, audio quality is important on a podcast, but, you know.
Quality has never been important on this show.
The quality of books is the most important thing.
Lack of quality?
Well, the lack of quality is what's important, and, we are blessed to bring you two more.
Oh, are we ever.
We went to Kamikaze last weekend.
LA Comic Con.
Whatever. It was an interesting time.
It was not as good as I was hoping, and honestly, it had a lot to do with outside forces.
Well, it had a lot to do with the fact that the League of Legends thing was going on at the same time, right down in LA Live, and then the Staples Center. Which, okay, you know, but yeah. Had we known that, our travel plans would have been made a bit easier for us.
It's just like, we've gone to Kamikaze/LA Comic Con for the last 6 years now, and we've never had a problem, like, going down and finding a place to park or whatever. But this time, I drove around for 90 minutes looking for a parking spot, and then all I did was stand in line. So, like, I really didn't have that much fun.
Yeah.
So, I think I would have done a lot of things differently had I realized so much stuff was going on. And I didn't look, and that was my own fault.
Yeah, we kind of just assumed. It was like, yeah, we'll just drive
there.
Yeah, well,
it's never been a problem before, because we've always done it that way.
It was a pain in the butt.
And it was a huge pain in the dick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. I'm sure Kamikaze had some, or LA Comic Con had some really great stuff going on, but I unfortunately did not get to see any of it. But we did get to look at some books.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I saw Stan Lee.
You did.
Just walking past me.
Yeah.
When I was in one of my many lines to try to get food, which never worked out. but he walked past me. And I will say, for a 90-something-year-old man, he moves pretty quickly.
Maybe he's been
quite
getting
spry.
Maybe he's been getting some sort of Marvel science treatments.
I don't know. He was walking through the crowd. He was surrounded by like four huge dudes. Like these dudes were like 6'5", and like built like a goddamn shit house. And he was like in between all of them. But he was walking pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, good for you, Stan.
Yeah, Stan Lee, a picture of health.
Yeah. Oh yeah, doing pretty good. So quite spry for a man his age.
Yeah. So we had some chance to look at some books. Do we buy this second one?
No, today? I've had that one forever.
Oh, okay. But this first one we're doing, this Marvel book. Now, just as a note, today we were going to try to do like an election kind of special.
America. This is coming out on Election Day.
Yeah.
Please go vote.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I think my politics are pretty obvious. But it is your choice for who you want to vote for. And I encourage everybody out there, if you can vote, if you are registered, please go do that.
Yeah. If you're
It's important to participate. It's your civic duty.
Yes, it is your civic duty. Please go out and vote. Please participate in our democracy. It's very important that you do. Whoever you want to do it for is your call.
It's your call on the vote.
But we want you to do it, and so you can say yes. This is something I participated in, and that it really means a lot.
It is my duty as an American.
An American, yes. And then you are listening to this. You will get this will be available across the world. You know, across the country. You know, at 3 a.m.
On
Election Day. So if you're downloading this and
listen to it while you vote.
Listen to it while you're voting.
I don't know how that works, but sure. Listen to it on the way to the polls. Listen if you're like us and you went early voting.
Yeah.
And ended up fucking standing in line for 6 hours
We've had nothing but weekends of lines.
We really have. Like, we literally, from the time we arrived to the time we actually left, it took us about 5 hours and 54 minutes to vote yesterday. But we did it. So it's done.
Mm-hmm. I did it.
But hopefully you will not have to stand in line that long. But if you have to, listen to this podcast.
And if there is a line, stand in it.
Yeah,
make sure you vote.
No,
that's important.
6 fucking hours, man. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. We did it.
We did it. I'm sure you won't have to wait that long.
No. No, so, you probably won't.
No, you won't. So, we were going to try to do Amazing America.
We were going to try to do like an American, like a Marvel and a DC. And we have something for DC, but, I mean, something, you know, workable.
Obviously American.
Obviously, you know, American. But we wanted to do, I wanted to do it for Marvel, and it's, I didn't want to do it, they got a Captain America. I didn't think we really had a good one to do this time out.
Yeah.
However, this past, last weekend, when I went to Kamikaze, I did find the entire Iceman miniseries from 1984, 85, excuse me. And, yeah, I'm glad, we're going to do, so our Marvel book is going to be Iceman number one from December 1984. Number one in a 4-issue limited series, which this came out around the time when he was in the New Defenders. You know, it was just before X-Factor started up. And I kind of just, I came across it. And I've always, because I'm surprised I found all four, because sometimes it's like, there's a, I'm kind of really into the random miniseries that have come out in for Marvel, like in like the early, like basically in like the early 80s, from the early 80s to like the mid 90s.
Uh-huh.
Like that's kind of, I'm kind of into it.
Yeah.
Like I've been able to find like U.S. Agent one for the 90s. I found the Gargoyle one.
Yeah.
This one actually is pretty similar to the Gargoyle one, which is no surprise considering that J.M. DeMatteis wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and he was also, I think, writing Defenders around this time. And so it does not surprise me that it is, it's an interesting book.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting book. This is going to be the first book, and wait until I tell you more about what happens.
Oh, man.
I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this thing. So, Iceman, number one, from December 1984, on the cover. He is young. He's young. He's on his own. He's out for a good time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's in more trouble than ever.
And he's in more trouble than ever because he's sliding around on his ice, and he's got
goons.
Some goons. One guy's smashing his ice. Another one's shooting a light out of his chest. We'll come to know these two folks as the Idiot and the White Light.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's flying around in some just... Are you okay?
No, she's digging her claws in my leg. Her. Honey, why don't you just... Ow, sit down. Yeah, you're drooling on me too. That's really gross.
Okay, oh, she's being gross.
Yeah, you're disgusting.
So, Iceman is flippity-flopping around. I've always tried to quite under... I don't quite understand Iceman based on his actual physical appearance. Because
he's Frozone.
What?
Frozone.
Frozone.
From The Incredibles. And he zips ice and he...
No, I get that. I get that, but it's like he's always been able to cover himself in like a sheath of ice.
And then he gives himself boots and underwear?
No, he wears the boots and underwear. As you see.
But are they covered in ice?
Well, they're also covered in ice, too. It's like a thin layer of ice, but somehow it is also...
You can't see his hair. Shouldn't you be able to see his hair? I mean, if you're saying that you can see his underwear and boots through the ice, you should also be able to see his hair.
Maybe in this case, he just wears a ice hat.
I don't know. A swim cap just made for ice.
Swim cap made of ice.
Yeah.
But I don't understand is, like, if he's covered in ice, like a...
How he moves?
Yeah, like how his arms move.
Yeah, and like without cracking.
Without it just looking like constantly peeling off.
Yes, because ice is not exactly a flexible
thing. Yeah, it's not flexible.
It's a brittle thing. So it's a good question. How he's not constantly just like flaking like he's a fucking dandruff man.
Dandruff man! Well, that was probably the original idea that he was going to be dandruff man. You know what's funny is that the original Iceman was just basically like a snowman with no face. With like...
Not even a carrot?
No.
He didn't even get frosty?
He was just a snowman and eventually, you know, his look changed.
He wasn't even a frosty?
No. He was not a frosty from Wendy's. Anyways.
No, frosted snowman.
Oh, frosty.
Yeah, a corn cob pipe.
I knew that.
Okay.
Crossing the Stoneheart.
I just have to verify.
So we start off in prologue here. We got something. It looks like it's...
I will be honest with you. The minute I opened this, I was like, oof. There's a lot going on this page.
There's a bunch of, like...
There's so much art.
Space war
There's
going
so
on.
So much art. It is overwhelming, the amount of art. And I'm just like, ooh, ow, pain. Like, everything has detail.
Well, it's really well, beautiful drawn.
Oh, but it's overwhelming. There's too much of it.
So,
yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
I'm into it.
No, too much for me.
I mean, it's too much for... Let me put this way.
In a small space like this, it's too much. Well, I'm like, oh.
But, but this is the thing about this book. This is why this book is such a unique... This series is so unique because it's Iceman, right? You're like, okay, Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
Iceman's gonna go out. He's gonna do some frozen shit. It's gonna be great. And you're opening it up, and it looks
cosmic.
I'm trying to think, like Star Wars meets RoboCop kind of shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's just robots and destroyed buildings
and slave populations. It's a cosmic thing, so it's like they're on another planet. This is probably why you like it so much, because you are into the cosmic
stuff. I'm into the cosmic stuff, so.
So they're like on another planet, and there's like bad shit going down. Like there's people like enslaving the local population and whatever. And so then there's. Who do they call this the guy? The Master?
Yeah, so there's this guy who's the Master, and we come to know them, the Idiot and the White Light, are these two goons who are like, the Master is like...
You're going to do this.
You're going to do
go
this.
Go get this guy.
Go get this person. Go do this thing, and they're like, well, we won't fail you. And they're like, if you fail me, I'll kill you. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So they like go off, you know, through a portal, and then we cut to Iceman.
The Uncanny Iceman. The Fuse! Is the name of the story. The Fuse!
And he is, you know, ice skating across the
Long
city.
Island. He's skating along Long Island because he's late for a meeting with his
He's
going
to see his parents.
He's going to see his parents.
And he's having a lot of, you know, he's kind of like a conflicted guy. Like, he doesn't really want to go see his parents, but he's not sure and whatever. And so he's having, like, a think. And as he, like... goes across the city, he sees a woman step off a bus.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mary? So he, like, grabs her.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, gorgeous. And people are like, oh my god, Silver Surfer just kidnapped
woman. Spider-Man just stole the guy's pizza.
Yeah, because they don't know who he is. And so...
I mean, I figured that people might know who he is.
No, they call him Silver Surfer because they don't know who he is. So he's
Silver Surfer, but he's full of ice, the Ice Surfer.
And then it gets weird because he's like, hey, Mary, cousin, how you doing, gorgeous? And she's like, you're cute, Billy, or whatever his name is. Isn't he
Bobby.
Billy? Bobby. And I'm like, you guys are cousins. Like, what? Ew.
Where does it say he's cousins? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's like, hey, cousin. He's like, oh, handsome.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Well, he calls her gorgeous, and then she calls him cutie. And I'm just like, maybe some people talk to their cousins that way, but usually that's probably
usually not. I'm not going up to any cousin I've ever met and saying, hey, how's it going
hey,
there,
hey,
beautiful?
Gorgeous.
You beautiful dame of a woman.
No, I mean, you might, like... If it was, like, your cousin's wedding day, you might walk up to her and be like, you look beautiful. And they'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's a normal compliment, somebody would say. But you just walk up to your cousin on, like, a regular day and be like, hey there, gorgeous grabby grab. And you're like, ah. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
You can, he's grabbing, like, he's yanking her and he's all...
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. It's, gross. So, yeah, he's got a weird cousin love thing going.
Yeah, and he's basically kvetching because his parents really want him to be an accountant.
Yep.
Like that is like
that's what he needs to be.
And spoiler alert: this is like a thing that gets brought up like
a lot.
Constantly, yeah, a lot in here,
a lot,
and a lot through the rest of the series. And I think this, I feel this is a theme in the X-Men because there's also, I feel like also
what, of him being an accountant,
him wanting him, people wanting him to be an accountant. And also, like, I think
is he good with math?
I don't think I've ever seen him use a calculator.
They want him to keep the X-Men's books. Is that what's going on? Like, we're in need of a good accountant, Iceman.
We need you to track our...
And you're kind of useless as an X-Men, so...
He's pretty good X-Men. You think the telepaths would be good at figuring out numbers with their brains.
I don't know. I think they just read other people's minds. So maybe if they, like, read the mind of somebody who's good at numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
I mean, I understand cutting down costs, though, where you can just be like, hey, you're also one of my X-Men, but also you're our accountant.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can have another job, but, I don't know.
You know, but he doesn't like it, and he wants to... make sure that...
And he's not, you know, now that he's a mutant, he doesn't know. So he's having a problem. And so as he's like, you know, talking to his cousin, he's like, oh, shit, never mind, cousin. Ay, 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 I'm going to drop you. He literally says, ay, ay, ay. I'm going to drop you off right here because I'm in love now. Because he saw some chick walking down the street with her family. And her family's weird because it's like, everybody's really nicely dressed for just like a walk to the store. I don't know.
Like the whole family goes.
The whole family.
They're all dressed like.
And he sees this girl and he's like, I'm in love. So he like drops his cousin.
Yeah. He's like,
never mind, cousin. I don't need to fuck you anymore.
It's a babe.
I don't need to have sex with my cousin now.
Also, look, I'll kind of point something out real quick too about Iceman.
Yeah.
So it does end up coming out later that.
Recently,
that Iceman is gay.
Yes.
Bobby Drake is gay.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if this is the same Bobby Drake in this timeline.
Oh, I don't know.
That could be, I'm assuming it is. But it is, like, all of this posturing he's doing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He comes off as uber hetero.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because he's trying to hide.
But that's the thing. So it's weird kind of reading this knowing what kind of comes up for the character.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that they've done this before with other characters, but I mean, it's not like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, when I was reading Alpha Flight and, you know, it was not really like this with North Star, but for Iceman, yeah, this is really kind of.
It gets a bit excessive.
It's a bit excessive. That's the thing.
I think it would be excessive even if we didn't find out that the character ended up being gay later on.
But it's just knowing.
It's
just knowing,
very excessive.
In yeah. Here.
His uber male, I have a hard dick posturing.
Yeah, like he's. I mean, I think it's always like this is how the character has been. This is weird because this is how the character is written everywhere else, too.
Yeah.
Like he's the one who.
He's like the Flash.
He's the one where there was a scene, a thing in the Defenders where him and Angel were watching. Women exercise video.
Gross.
And so one of the
just exercising.
Just women exercising.
No, I was saying gross to exercise.
Oh,
yeah.
And he's like, and somebody's like, "What are you just watching an exercise video?" It's like, it's a chick exercise video. Come on, ooga, you know, like kind of like that. And I'm like, okay,
all right,
you know, calm down, all right. So it's
funny. You know, I guess we just forget what it was like not to have the internet.
Also, this is like the 80s, so it's like in the 80s, you're like, yeah, he's into girls.
Babes.
Babes.
Yeah.
You know, and then, this book just gets weird as fuck.
Yeah.
So, hold on. Anyways, so he's...
He, like, throws his cousin away because he's like, I don't need to have sex with you now.
He literally throws his cousin off of his ice slide.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go.
Go tell my mom I'm dead or whatever. Like, so then he tries to, like, impress. He's like, I got to impress this girl. Look at those legs. Look at those titties. Look at that hair. Oh, man. I'm going to jump into this ice pole. Oh, he says, be still my libido, which is really gross.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to impress her by, like, jumping into this ice pole, which he, like, breaks.
What if he was like, oh, no, my ice dick.
Yeah, it's really my pole! And then she, of course, this girl, all she does this entire comic book, by the way, is either scream or fall. So she, like, and then, like, falls down. Because they're like, oh my god, it's whoever's looking for us.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm sorry, no, don't run away, girl of my dreams! And is this where he figures out that it's his next-door neighbor?
No, what happens is he falls down, and then a bunch of people...
Oh, the cop shows up.
Cop shows
like,
up.
You're arrested for kidnapping your own cousin, Silver Surfer. And he's like, I'm Iceman.
I'm Iceman. And he's like, well, you're mutant, and I'm
a red-faced cop.
I'm a red-faced cop from Long Island, and I'm also sort of racist.
I also have a hot dog neck.
And he's got a hot dog neck. And he's like, I got a pack of Frank's neck, so fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
I'm also pretty racist against mutants. So.
Yeah, I'm a horrible racist. And so Iceman freezes this guy, and he's like, haha, I'm leaving. And I'm like, wouldn't that kill him?
I mean, it would just make him really cold.
Yeah, but wouldn't you, I mean, if you don't get out soon enough, wouldn't you succumb to hypothermia?
I mean, this guy clearly should, yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe he doesn't.
I don't know how long it takes.
Maybe he doesn't.
I have never frozen myself in a cube of ice.
Maybe he kind of puts it so it's, like, able, it's not, like, that you know, that heavy ice.
Maybe.
Like, if he just wants to subdue them, but not, like...
freeze them to death?
I think he... I mean, he didn't have to.
Right.
Because he could have easily just left.
Right.
Like he does, because, yeah. like, the cop's like, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, what's this guy going to do? Chase after him?
Nope.
He's flying in an ice slide, and this yeah. guy just got a billy club.
Yeah.
So...
I'm also a little confused about his ice slide. So, like...
how does it work?
Not only how does it work... but if you are creating an ice slide everywhere you go, can't they just follow it? Or does it just last for a couple seconds and then disappear?
Maybe it just dissipates. Maybe it's, like, heavy enough, but it just kind of... I mean, I'm wondering
if... I mean, if it's a giant... it's like, I'm thinking of it like an ice sculpture. Like, if you have a giant fucking hunk of ice, which this one looks really big, and it's just, like, all over town, aren't they going to eventually find you? Just by following the
Well, also, ice too, slide. Like, do these ice slides just, like, melt and fall down yeah. and break things?
Well, that's the thing. You fall on people. Fucking huge piece of ice just hanging in
like,
the air.
Like, impale people like they do on fucking Grey's Anatomy and shit.
Well,
and, like,
yeah.
and also, like, or they just make you all wet because, it's, you know, it's, like, it's just a random rainstorm.
Well, not only that.
Freezing
like,
rain.
If it's a big, huge piece of ice, like, do you remember what they had to do in Boston? What's that bridge? You know what bridge I'm talking about.
Charlestown?
Nope. The big... it's got a name. And oh. it's got those big... it's like a newer one.
Okay.
And it has like big, huge cables.
Yeah, yeah.
That hang it up. I cannot remember the name of it. But when they first built it, they didn't take into consideration that like it would get... ice would accumulate on these big fucking cables. And as it melted, these huge pieces of ice were falling off onto the roadway and like landing on cars and breaking windshields. It was a big problem.
Yeah.
So they had to, like, go back in and, like, heat them so they don't accumulate ice.
Yeah.
It's just water. So wouldn't that happen here?
Mm-hmm, probably. I mean, to be honest, like, these are consequences that I'm certain that...
No one has to think about.
Nobody has to think about because this guy could just be like, hey, chill out. And he just flies off, just skates off.
Yeah. So he, like, goes into...
how is he also capable of... being so, I mean, maybe obviously he's been doing it for a long time, but
gross. Are you sneezing?
Oh, our cat's sneezing. People took into account. I mean, he's been doing this for a while, but like, how do you like slide and just are you able to propel yourself? Like, he does it because he can propel
maybe
himself forward. He farts ice?
No, he just farts forward. It's just propulsion.
Okay, so he's also got gas and ice. All right.
He's gassy ice man.
Gassy ice man.
So he, like, goes into somebody's backyard, just random backyard, and he's like, I gotta change. So he's, like, putting on pants or whatever, and there's a dog barking at him. And a woman who looks, an old woman who looks like she's been attacked by bees, like her face is giant and puffy. It's like, there's a communist, sexual perverted communist in my backyard.
Help, help, there's a godless communist undressing in my backyard.
And she calls him a pervert, too.
And he's like, hey, lady, I'm putting my clothes on. He's like, don't try to fool me, young man. I know a sexual deviant when I see one. Oh, man. This woman has seen some shit.
She's seen some things.
If you were my son, if my son were here, he'd have you thrown in the hoosegow.
I'm assuming that must be the cop's mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So he, like, runs away as fast as he can, and he, like, walks down the street, and oh, man, he sees the babe again.
It's funny, though, he's having, like, a lot of talking to himself.
Oh, yeah, this is before
he's talking. He's talking about, you know, about the X-Men, about mutants being persecuted, the Dazzler, and X-Men, the God loves, man kills, and, you know, and then he's like, oh, man, life's embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
Mom and dad, so protective, meh. And then as he's walking, so I don't understand here. So he's walking on the street, and
uh-huh.
As he's walking on the street, he sees a group coming up.
Yep, and it's her, man.
And it's that family again. But somehow it goes from like...
He's like 15 feet away to him like literally looking like he's about to eat this woman.
He literally
trips into her, and of course, guess what? She falls down again. Because it's literally all she does.
He literally, just like, he's literally like thinking, and then he just plows into this poor girl.
Yeah, she's like, yeah! And he's like, it's her, oh my god, it's you!
This girl has, like, no emotion.
Oh no, she is a blank slate. And so, they're like, it's okay, son! You know, no problem.
Blah-bada-boo.
And then he finds out that he knows...
they're the Smiths, and
they
live next
door.
Yeah, they live next
door. The Bobby's parents. And he's like, oh my god, it's the girl.
Well, I like this. So he's like, so she's like, so this girl's like, she gets up and she's like, bye. And he's like, hold it, you can't leave. She's like, why not? And he's like, I don't know.
Good question.
It's a very good question.
I cannot detain you against your will, though I would like to.
And I probably will later.
Eventually, I'm sure. So then he, like, goes home, and his parents have a really ugly house.
Yeah, that rug. What is that rug?
I know, that is a...
Is that supposed to be, like...
shag carpeting? I don't know.
No, it looks like it's supposed to be, like,
Coral?
Coral with no colors?
It's yellow coral.
Colorless coral?
It's yellow.
Yeah.
And, like, so they walk in, and they're like, oh my god, Bobby, it's so good to see you. Oh, you look like you slept in those clothes. Blah, 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 blah. Like, so the just...
Family, being, family, family.
Yeah. So as that's happening, Idiot and White Light show up.
Idiot and White Light show up in somewhere...
I'm not sure. An alley somewhere, probably.
Yeah, so anyway, so there's this... I think because this cop, this ratchet cop...
Sure.
Is like he shows up and these guys show up and you know they're trying the for some reason Idiot talks like Jimmy Durante.
Sure.
Because he's like this is it, the right place, hacha hacha, you know, like he's having like this, he's just being weird. And yeah, then so this Ralph Cratchit angry man cop is like, hey, what are you guys, mutants too? Fuck you, or whatever. And then they stop him somehow. I don't know. Make him quiet. And they're about to kill him. And then they just don't.
And White Light has, like, the power to, like, project his will onto other people.
He does, like, a Men in Black thing.
Yeah, he's like, you didn't see this. And they're like, we didn't see this. He's like, you're going to go home. He's like, we're going to go home. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and then Idiot's just like, ha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, and so then we cut back to Bobby's house, where his parents are having a party, and by the way, on that ugly-ass floor, and these people are horrible, because I love that there's old men talking about how, like, oh, they knew their son shouldn't have married so-and-so, but he did, now he's ruined, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure your son has absolutely no agency of his own, and did not contribute to the disaster that was his marriage in the least. But anyway, they're just like bitching and like everybody's grabbing Bobby's face and telling him he has got a cute tush when he was a baby.
Wait, so poor dope married her anyway. Now he's in a rubber room, so he went insane while the girl went to Europe to dance with Italians.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's always her fault. Remember that. Men are super, super strong, and women are super weak. However, women have the power to ruin men somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Because some reason, etc., that is never explained. So.
Yeah, so they're all like, blah, 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 and so...
So, yeah, they're grabbing the face, and then the cousin who he wanted to fuck, but then decided not to fuck, and then he might want to fuck again, shows up in a little skirt.
Yeah.
And she's like, come on, we gotta go in the kitchen... But then they go outside?
They go outside to kind of just have, like, just a session because it's all overwhelming. And,
yeah, and he's like, I don't want to be an accountant.
Because he's like, I don't want to be an accountant, but, I mean, I'm Iceman, and I don't know if I want to be Iceman.
I'm different.
I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm a mutant, but I also, should I be a regular person?
Yeah, should I just do the regular thing? You know, should I get married and have the kids and, you know, get a good job, or should I just, like, be a fucking Iceman, man?
Right, so then the mother randomly brings out one of his cousins.
And he, honestly, Iceman's a dick in this scene. What?
Uh-oh.
Iceman's a little bit of a dick here, because...
He's a lot of a dick.
Well, he's just a huge dick, because the mom's just like, hey, you know, you're gonna be an accountant, your cousin, uncle, friend, whatever that guy is.
Your old uncle cousin.
Your old uncle cousin has a bit of advice for you. And he's like, you know, I'll give you a piece of advice, son. And then he's like, why don't you shove it up your ass? Like, fuck you, don't give me advice. I'm like,
why'd you stick your advice in your dickhole?
Yeah, and honestly, all he had to do is be like, oh, okay. Like, just listen to the old man and go, okay, thank you, uncle cousin, and then leave. Like, but no, he just yells at this old man for no reason.
Yeah, so he storms off, and...
Because he doesn't know what he wants to do. That doesn't mean you have to be rude.
He storms off, and then as he storms off...
What does he do? He runs square into that chick again and knocks her on the ground. Again, this is the third time.
this girl, like, he's so infatuated by her. She's so beautiful. He's like, oh, she was so beautiful. And I was like, ha ha, you know.
Yeah.
And so she runs into him, knocks over a bunch of brownies,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, she was bringing brownies to his parents' party.
I would delete them.
And he's like, Sean's like Homer Simpson.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Where'd you get that brownie?
Well, I would eat the ones that didn't fall frosting first.
It's probably good. So he's like, hey, instead of like hanging out with my parents, why don't you and I make our own party? And she's like, okay.
I don't understand. Like, he's like, oh my god, this girl. And it's like, this girl has no personality.
She's a completely blank slate.
I'm Marge.
She says like about 15 words this entire book.
Right.
She has no personality of her own. And all she does is listen. And so basically, he's like, she's the perfect woman. I'm like, why? Because she doesn't talk? She doesn't have any thoughts? You can just project whatever you want onto her? Sure, buddy. So as they sit down and have, I don't know, sidewalk brownies.
Sidewalk brownies, we get a little bit of the idiot and the white light, and they're basically...
And they go to that woman whose house got stung by all the bees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And she thought, you know, she doesn't recognize them as commies.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know,
she sees
them
as nice old men, nice young men in suits, even though the dog doesn't. And so they go into her house because they're looking...
They're trying to find a lead. So,
yeah,
they
go into her house and they're like, you're going to sleep. Your dog is too. And so that happens. And then we cut back to Iceman, who's literally just dumping all of his problems onto this girl. He never met her before, and he's just like, my parents, oh, they're awful, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
My dad's Irish, and my mom's Jewish, and
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
This is not first date talk, dude. Slow the fuck down.
He's like, you're not even on a date. You just literally dropped a bunch of brownies on the ground, and you abducted this girl to her house.
Yeah, and now you're just, like, dumping all your personal shit on her.
Oh, he's unloading, and he's
and
just like...
she's just, like, not saying a word. Not saying anything, just looking at him.
She's just like, my family is great, ha ha.
Yeah. He's like, you're the best. It's like, yeah, I guess the only thing you have to do to be the best is to keep your fucking mouth shut. Good job. So the parents come out. They're like, would you like to watch something on TV? And they're like, no, thanks. And then he's like, here's a picture of me and my parents. Here's me and my parents' problems.
I like this picture.
Don't you want to sleep with me?
Do you like this picture?
Which one?
This picture of him as a baby, which is like the mother, the father...
And the very
and the baby him in the middle
unsure baby
the baby who looks like Rodney Dangerfield
he looks very unsure. Everybody
he's got
else
his eyes buggy out
and
he's
and
like
the
what
like, he also looks like his eyes are like spirals.
Yeah. I think they're drawn like no they're not. It's weird though. It's just weird. And anyway, so they're sitting there and she's like, well, you know, your parents are interesting, and she's like, I like you.
Yeah.
And he's like, I like you too, grab. And then that's when the idiot and the white light show up and they start smashing stuff.
She runs into her house, and then he Icemans, and they start fighting.
Yeah, he starts
and
doing what
like,
the fighting.
I know you're here for me, you assholes. So her and her brother actually run into their closet. Looks like they leave via portal.
They leave via portal, yes.
So obviously something's fucked up with her family.
Yes. Oh,
in
yeah.
her.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bobby's parents come out next door, they're like, my son! And then Bobby brings the
well, because I think a lot of people don't know that he's a mutant.
Well,
or maybe they
now.
Do, and they don't really... Like, it's kind of been a thing where it's like, they've tried to cope with him
yeah.
not being a mutant and yeah. not having this double life and being a thing. So, they're very... they're very ripped up about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're trying to... cope with it, and as this is happening, he basically drops this house on these two monsters.
Yeah, I like how he doesn't even check to make sure that the girl and her family are fine. He just drops.
Well, he doesn't drop, they do. I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, they wreck the fucking
house.
Wreck,
they just destroy the house.
I mean, it's destroyed. And everybody's like, oh my god, is he dead? Oh no, but no, he's not. And he was able to, like, put those goons in ice.
But then they disappear.
And then he just, like, sits there all sad, being like, why me? And the cop shows up wearing a bathrobe.
The cop's like, you mutie.
And everybody's like, I didn't know he was a mutant. And, you know, and that
yeah.
that's it. That's the end of the book.
That's it. That's how it ends. And he's just like, why me?
Having a hard life.
Yeah, and that's it for Iceman number one from December 1984. Would you read the next issue of this?
I don't know. I mean, it's fine. Well, sure, I guess.
Well, I have read them.
Yeah, I know.
I've bought all four of them, and it goes fucking crazy.
Yeah.
In the sense that, okay, so what happens is
that girl's probably like queen of that planet or whatever.
No. Well, what happens is so Iceman has like continues to have this big blow up with his father and his parents. To the point where his mother's like, "Don't, your father's gonna have a heart attack. He's not well."
Oh,
and
no.
And he's like, she's like, "You should leave." It's like, it's really hardcore.
Yeah.
Like a really hardcore family fight.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes and he does some like exploring in the rubble or whatever, and he finds like this box. And it's this box where it makes this noise or whatever, and then we see that this girl, Marge, and her family are in like England or something, but like in a different time period. And so it turns out that this box, they can monitor him in this box, and that she can travel through time with her family. And, you know, and then he goes and because of his emotions with his parents, this box travels him back to 1940, and it just happens that he runs into his parents before they had him and before they were married, right? And then some monster that, since those other two guys fucked up, another monster is sent to go and try to find this girl, but they track him back to this box.
Okay.
The monster tracks him back to this box Iceman has. And then Iceman fights his monster, and it kills his father, basically wiping him from existence.
Oops.
Right? And then we go, and he becomes falling into oblivion, into nothingness, and he runs into actual oblivion. There's a character in the Marvel mythos called Oblivion.
Okay.
And the Oblivion's like, "Hey, I'm the one that's been sending these people because I'm trying to get back my daughter. You know her as Marge, but she's called Mirage. And I created her out of my own body, like my own, like, whatever, because I wanted a companion, and I wanted something to share a life with, or share something with. And she turned against me, and then she became a woman and started, like, going through time."
Oh, okay.
And then it basically she tracks Iceman back down, and it just kind of goes back and forth where she unites with her father. Her father kind of starts acting like that guy from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend singing about his daughter.
Oh,
it gets like that, and then Iceman somehow like it's you have to read it because it's really confusing, and it's nothing like it doesn't because he's like.
What about that? Her family, are they just?
Oh, they just disappear.
Are they parts of her?
Does they're she, parts like, of her. They're parts of things that she. They're them? Parts of her like essence. So she basically
created them
and reabsorbs them, and she just lives this idyllic life as a woman that just happened to live next door to Bobby Drake and his family.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Lucky them. And that, you know, but then it goes off the rails.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And then Oblivion tries to force him back into nothingness, but because of love, he survives because he's a real man.
Does he reanimate his father?
No, what happens is they just get at the very end of all of it. It's like the end of Masters of the Universe movie where Courtney Cox gets tossed back to right before her parents leave to go on a plane trip before they die.
Oh, okay.
So in this case, he gets tossed right before the night of this party so he doesn't have to fuck up.
Oh.
And then Nikki goes down. He's like, "I love you, Mom and Dad, and I'm going to be a superhero. Goodbye." Slide. And that's it.
But I thought his dad died and wiped him from existence.
No, but they put him back before that happened.
Oh, okay.
So all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Even though they keep telling him that it's not going to happen.
Right.
That they do it anyways.
Uh-huh.
Because Iceman.
Sure.
So that's how it goes.
All right.
That's that book. And it's oh my. See, all I'm saying all this, and then it starts off with him just having a fight at his parents' house.
Yeah.
And you think there's going to be some sort of space shit going on, and then it just goes
crazy.
Wake up. Like, you think Silver Surfer's going to show up. Like, Silver Surfer might as well show up. And, like, it just becomes, like, full-on, like, Jim Starlin craziness.
Mm, all right.
And I kind of like it, but and that's kind of how, like, J.M. DeMatteis, like, he also wrote the Gargoyle miniseries.
Yeah.
Miniseries. And that just kind of starts out where it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I got to fight this monster, you know, because I'm Gargoyle and I'm an old man trapped inside a gargoyle body. And then it just becomes like this big, like, traipse through time and, you know, trying to this and that. It's just, it's weird as shit.
Cocaine?
I mean, the 80s, yeah.
No, it's the 80s. This is true.
The 80s, this was done with a guy, probably some guy with a popped shirt, collar shirt, and suspenders.
Sure.
You know, and the suspenders and a Huey Lewis haircut being like, you know. It's like, I want a new drug, dude, got to write Iceman, you know.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's how it was. All these books were written on coke and Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
That's how the 80s
That's accurate, actually. That's
how they all... That's
Huey
how it was.
Lewis was the only musical act we had in the 80s.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. There was nothing else.
That's all we did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's Iceman number one from 1984. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with our next book.
Hey guys, it's Adam Ray.
And Josh Wolf. And we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. Thank you for joining us. It's Jen and Sean. That's us.
Is it, though? No, it is.
Is it really?
Who are we really?
Anyways,
Philosophically, am I
man or am I dancer?
Dancer man?
Dancer. Are we human or are we dancer? Did you ever hear that song by the Killers? It's like, are we human or are we dancer?
No.
That's how it goes.
Wait. Wouldn't one be the other?
You would think, but I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I thought it was, are we denser? But no, they actually say dancer.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hip music.
Yep, I'm not hip.
Superman.
Most American of heroes.
Yes.
This is why
Let's put this out. Superman is the most American of heroes.
Truth, justice, and the American way. There is no hero that is more, except for Captain America, was more quintessentially American than Superman.
Right.
So
we decide,
in celebration of, you know, democracy or whatever.
Democracy. Yes, we're doing this for democracy. Vote. Yeah, please vote. So Superman number 334 from April 1979.
Yep.
On the cover, it says, you got Superman holding his eyes or his face.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Lana Lang is cowering from what looks to be Mysterio. Spider-Man's Mysterio.
Yep, basically a dude in a suit with a fishbowl on his head.
Dude in a suit, the purple suit with a fishbowl on his head. And she's like, that weird creature is using your heat vision.
Oh, it's using like heat vision like yours, Superman.
And he's like, it's mine, Lana, he's stolen my eyes.
That's right, someone has stolen Superman's eyes.
This has happened often.
So yeah, Superman loses a lot of body parts. People steal shit from him a lot.
For someone who's indestructible, he often loses a lot of his body meat.
He really does.
His organs.
People take them and have no problem repurposing them for their own use.
That's like literally, like, it's like somebody...
It's like, that is the plot of so many Superman stories.
Every Superman book is usually like, that man is not me, but he took me.
Yeah. That man took over my body. That man made me do this. That man took my arms. That man has my super breath. Whatever. It's... Yeah.
And these are... And this is 1979, so we're like, we're... So are we out of the golden age, silver age yet?
I'm not actually sure where the silver age ends, and where
the I know there's an actual ending for it. So don't there please is. Don't you could tweet us about it. We had somebody actually help us out.
Oh yeah, I should give that guy a shout out.
Hold yeah, on, you want you look that up? Yeah, because they were very helpful in explaining the reason why.
Give that person a shout out.
Elongated Man and Plastic Man both exist when they are essentially the same kind
of... Yes, and that was from at Comic Reflection.
Yes.
And
it's they, Comic Reflection?
Yes, Comic Reflection. No, there's an S in the name, but at Comic Reflection. See?
Yeah, at Comic Reflection on Twitter. It was very helpful.
Yes, and also has their own podcast, History-oriented podcast focusing on the Silver and Bronze Ages of comic books.
Well, they would definitely know the answer to this question.
But basically, the whole thing behind Plastic Man is that apparently in 1956, Quality Comics folded and they had Plastic Man, and DC bought them and forgot that they owned Plastic Man because in 1960. John Broom and Carmine Infantino created a hero like Plastic Man, which was Elongated Man, because they forgot that they owned him.
That sounds...
So, which is a great story.
That sounds like something that WWE would do.
That's amazing. That is the most amazing story I've ever heard. I'm so happy with that. That is the most DC story I've ever fucking heard.
It is the most DC thing that ever happened.
It is the most DC thing that ever happened. Well, fucking fantastic.
Well, they're both very distinct characters. Even though they have the same kind of... Well, let me put it this way. Plastic Man is much better at being plastic.
Yeah.
Than Elongated Man is at being Elongated Man. Like, Elongated Man could just be like...
Elongated Man creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah, he creeps out. But, like, Plastic Man can, like, literally change into, like, anything he wants.
He's a bench.
He's a bench.
Outside of House of Secrets, there's a bench painted like Plastic Man.
Yes.
In Burbank, so if you ever go.
Yeah. Pretty neat. House of Secrets. It's a great store, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure if this is still Silver Age or if we're in Bronze Age. It might be in the Bronze Age. I don't know.
Might as well be.
But anyway.
But it's batshit insane.
It's fucking crazy.
Because it's Superman.
We're 6 years out from Crisis.
Yeah, this is before that. Because once Crisis hit, they were like, you know what?
This shit doesn't happen anymore.
Which, come on. Really kind of a bummer.
That's the thing. If I ever got a chance to write for DC, I would just write this shit. Yeah. It would just be a weird one-off that had nothing else to do with anything else, but this is what I'd want to write. These weird fucking kind of old-school comics that are just one-shots. They could even do it like DC Comics Presents.
Yeah.
And they would just be like...
These just weird, give you any character.
It could just circle through, just like cycle through different characters. It doesn't have to always be Superman or Batman. It could be anybody.
I don't know, maybe
this I is, would love a book like that. But, I would buy it.
Well, I mean, we would. I don't know if the younger public would enjoy it as much.
Yeah, those people suck.
Because also, there's a lot of shittiness going on in here that I think people would probably...
Well, obviously you can't have the shit. It would have to be a modern take on these weird stories.
Modern shittiness.
Because there is some questionable shit going on in this book.
So anyways, who is the Incredible Opticus? We challenge you to guess the amazing answer. Okay, the challenge is on.
But I mean, who wouldn't want to read a modern story about Superman's eyes getting stolen?
Well,
I would.
Superman, Superman in the 90s fought cancer. You know this, right?
No.
That was a thing, actually. I'll have to show you this video afterward about all the stupid Superman villains, but this is it's quite the story.
Cancer Man? Cancero?
No, not Cancero. Like, cancer with a K.
I want to speak Cancero.
No, it wasn't Cancero.
I am Cancero!
Yeah. Anyway, so Superman's flying over. Okay, so the man who stole Superman's eyes.
Oh, no!
Actually written by Martin Pasco, who I am a big fan of. Martin Pasco Swamp Thing. He wrote some Dr. Fate miniseries. I'm a big fan of Martin Pasco. So this is actually it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
But it doesn't surprise me because Martin Pasco.
So Superman's flying around and he's like, I don't know, X-ray visioning the world or something, and he's looking for Skeleton's lair. Or the Skull's Lair.
No, it's a skeleton.
Right.
The group is called Skeleton.
Yeah, but it used to be called the Skulls. But then Superman fucked it up.
The movie The Skulls?
Yes. Oh. Well, that's what we learned. So Superman's looking for it, and he's like, oh, Lana went off on her own, and she shouldn't. And, of course, she's been captured by the Skeleton. And he says...
Oh, that Skull is gone, so now Skeleton is what remains. Okay.
Yeah. Which, it kind of should be the other way around.
It's a super scientific crime syndicate. Superman smashed.
Oh, yeah. So it really should have been Skeleton, because there's more bones in a skeleton, and the skull is only one. But whatever. We're not going to fight with that. This is Skeleton, and these guys are all dressed like those dancers from the David S. Pumpkins video. If you've seen that sketch from SNL. So...
They look so stupid.
And they really do look dumb.
They are wearing purple capes, but they're also wearing full body, like, skeleton suits with black and white, and they got these awful white hoods.
Like, white cowls.
White cowls where you can see their actual faces.
But they also have, like, a little, like, tail in the back of it, so it's not, like, a totally flat hood. It's got, like, a weird tail at the top of the head.
Like little sleeping cap tails.
Yeah, it's, these guys, like... They bought the clearance shit after the Halloween store closed. Yeah. Is basically what's happening here.
Yeah, so anyways, they're like, hey, Dame, what are you doing here? We found you outside. And
she's like, I'm a reporter. And they're like, shut up.
He's like, I'm a reporter. And they're like, shut up, slap. You know?
Yeah, so they slap her. And of course, apparently this is enough to knock her unconscious. Just Superman.
And so she, as she gets slapped out, she's like.
Help Superman.
Help Superman.
And they're like, oh no, he's coming, but let's do something to Lana first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they're, like, looking at her watch. And so then Superman's like, I told Lana not to do that because I had them under surveillance and I'm waiting for them to pull a job. Oh, and then I have to fight them anyway. So he, like, goes to where she's being held. And it looks like the leader jumps onto the third rail and is electrocuted.
But he's not.
And so Superman, like, stops the other two and, like, smashes their heads together, which probably should have killed them.
He's probably not doing it that hard. He can control that.
That's true. And then he's like, oh, Lana, I saved you. And she's like, I'm so sorry, Superman. I know you told me not to do it, but I did it anyway. And he's like, see? I told you, but I'm happy you're alive.
Okay.
And then he notices that first guy wasn't electrocuted.
But apparently he jumped on the third rail, which was made with electro circuits that created a teleporter.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then we get later on, we get Superman calls a meeting in the penthouse.
Oh no, it's the editor calls a meeting in his penthouse. And everybody's like, why am I here? And they're like, well, you're here because Superman wanted to stop by. And so he like walks in. I'm assuming this is where Don Draper lives, and he, like, walks...
Oh, yeah, they're in Don Draper's house. He's sleeping in the bedroom right now.
He's drunk.
He's drunk in bed with some...
Megan.
With that Linda Fiorentino he's cheating on.
Oh, yeah.
That woman.
So, he walks in, and he's
Linda
like...
Linda Cardellini, sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here, and I wanted to tell you guys...
He wanted to say, look, I need you to get together because I want to tell you that I'm going to do...
A thing.
I'm going to be a security guy now.
Yeah, that's my thing now.
I'm starting a security guy. I run a security firm. And so I convinced the Daily Planet, because Clark Kent's on vacation.
Yeah.
That's me.
Just FYI.
Just FYI, Clark Kent's on vacation, but I told Clark to run the headline in the newspaper saying Superman's going to do... security now.
Yeah, this is a great advertisement for my business, you guys.
I'm a now security guy.
Yeah. I figure if Wayne Industries can, like, rebuild everything after Batman breaks it, then I can be a security guy.
I want to be security now, too.
Yeah.
So Superman to install burglar-proofing for Egyptian exhibit. That's the headline.
Yeah.
That's the headline. No other news going on in the world.
Yeah. Superman's the guy you call when you need things installed, and then you have to wait from, like, 9 to 2. For him to show up.
So now he's just like, look, we're doing this because there's like precious gems and shit in there. And so I'm going to do...
Oh,
because
it's an Egyptian exhibit.
Egyptian exhibit. Yeah, I said that.
Oh, did you?
Egyptian exhibit. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do something to... I'm going to have like a demonstration of like how I do this.
Yeah.
And I want
I'm going
to
showcase my product. Media, will you come watch? Basically, he wants press for his new product invention thing.
What a shyster.
So he can, you know...
What a shill.
And he's like, oh, but by the way, Lois and Lana, you bitches can't come.
No girls allowed.
Because you don't listen to me, Superman. Which, I don't fucking have to listen to you, Superman. I think that's what Superman doesn't get, is that these people don't have to listen to
him. Well, he's trying to say, it's like, I'm just tired of being a threat to my friends.
No, he's tired of having to rescue them.
He's tired of doing Superman.
Yeah, well, you don't have to fucking do Superman.
So anyway, so these guys drive out to the fucking woods, probably where Tony, it's like where Tony Soprano's being chased by, chasing a Russian. Or,
yeah.
The Russian just runs by.
Tony Soprano's just running after him.
Like, what was his face? Fucking Edward Nygma's burying a random hunter.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne's hanging out with a woman with a dinosaur arm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all of a sudden.
He's in the Bruce Wayne Woods. The Wayne Woods.
The Wayne Woods.
Watch out. Anyway, so he did a mock-up of like a pyramid.
It's like a glass pyramid, and it has this like really stupid, like basically air conditioner sized like belt on it. And he's like, I zap this with my heat vision, and it gets really hot. People can't touch it.
Can't touch this.
Basically, but Lana, of course, snuck into the trunk of the car. Because she wants to know what's going on, so she's here to report on his, you know, new business venture. And so Superman's like, look, it's hot, and then it blows up.
It blows up, and apparently there's a spacecraft.
Yes.
And out of the then the spacecraft blew it up, and out of the spacecraft comes Opticus. Who's on the cover with his big eye.
With his fishbowl head.
And so Opticus uses an energy beam of sort, energy cocoon, to occupy Superman's hands.
And make him punch himself.
He's
like, stop hitting yourself. Mind you,
okay.
Stop hitting yourself.
Guys, remember, this is happening.
Yeah, oh,
this is the thing that's happening. Superman is punching himself.
In the face. Because this guy has control over his hands. And he's like, oh, it's so bad, I'm going to like fall to the ground.
He's getting punched into trees. Like, he's literally been like punching himself at the throat.
Yeah, it's not good for him. So then he, Opticus
is like, Opticus is like, you know what? I'm an eye-based villain.
Yeah, he's like, I'm an eye guy.
And
into eyes. Yours are nice.
And yours are nice, and yours, like, do shit. Like,
so
lasers and stuff.
I'm gonna suck them out of your face.
I want your eyes.
So, it says there's a horrible sucking noise.
There's a strange sucking noise, but all is lost beneath the bone-chilling scream that rips from Superman's throat. And all we see is this this Opticus shooting into Superman's face. It's supposed to be that his eyes were sucked out.
Yeah, Opticus just sucked Superman's eyes out of his face. And was just like, now I have them. And now he starts like heat visioning stuff.
Like it doesn't come.
I'm not exactly sure how he uses them, but he now has heat vision. And
yeah, if he sucked his eyes out, like,
where'd they go?
He sucked it out with his eye. So maybe they went into his big eye. That's what we're trying to figure out.
And Superman's just screaming.
He's like, my eyes are being sucked out of my face.
And so
he's sitting there and, like, you know, Lana and, like, the Morgan Edge and whoever those goofs are.
And they're like, Superman, have you been blinded? And he's like, oh, dear God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, in heaven, my eyes. And then he's like, I have no eyes. And he turns to them and he has these, like, big black holes in his face.
His big black gummy eyeless holes.
He's like, I have no eyes. And so then he like, and Lana's like, oh my God. He's like, don't look at me.
Don't look at me because I can't look at you. And like, Lana's like, you know, Lana's like, he's like, Lana, I can't find you.
He is like having a fit. And then she's like, oh my God. You know, he's like, nothing is important. Keep your distance. And he's like, you know, they did steal my eyes. I'll have to find him to get my sight back. And I'll tie my cape around my eyes so nobody has to look at my big holes.
I wish he did, like, just kind of wrap his entire cape around the top of his head.
Oh, no, that would have been hilarious.
And there's just, like, it's just big, like, swath. And he's just like, ah, you know.
Yeah. So.
And so he does that, and then. And he's like,
how am I going to activate the burglar alarm in my new business if I can't use my heat vision?
He's only worried about his business. And she's like, but you have no eyes. You should worry about your.
He's like, I'll figure that out later.
He's like, bitch, don't worry about my eyes.
Yeah, nobody worry about my eyes.
Look, I look. I'm wearing my cape around my face. I look like Rambo.
If Rambo just moved his bandana down a little.
He looks dumb. Anyways.
So, yeah.
I just want to say real quick, Superman the movie. This is now, mind you, they made a movie out of this fucking dummy.
Mm-hmm.
They got this ad for Superman the movie, and it looks like he's, like, it's just like this drawing of, like, he's, like, on a black background, and he's just, like,
pointing at his own
name. He's pointing at his own name, like, he's pointing, like, Babe Ruth, like, yeah, he's gonna hit a baseball. Like,
yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, so, Superman decides to fly off.
Yeah.
While having no eyes.
He's like, my other super senses will make it okay. Bye!
Bye. I know how to fly with my ears?
Yeah. But the whole time, of course...
Is he using his taste to direct him? Is he like, this tastes like...
This tastes like North Dakota? Keep going.
This tastes like Italy. Mamma mia!
Pizza pie.
Pizza pie.
No, but of course, it's the whole time the skeleton crew guys are listening...
Yeah, because they
bugged Alana, and they're like, now we can go to that museum because Superman can't use his heat vision because he's the only person who could possibly protect all this shit in this museum.
Well, he's trying to also say that, like, my heat vision is invisible to the naked eye, so no one can tell if my heat vision is using my heat vision or not.
Yeah, so he's like, oh,
which I'm like, what do you mean? Like, all we see is your heat vision.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know you have to draw it that way because it would just look weird if they didn't.
Well, I tried to do it on Smallville so you can't really see it, but it looks fucked up. It's funky looking.
Well, right. That's why it's nothing but red lasers.
Yeah.
You know, but... Anyway, so he's flying off, and then...
And Lana's like, yeah, this is kind of fucking weird.
This is kind of weird.
Like, what? He didn't even care about... eye guy, and now he's missing his eyes, but he doesn't seem to care. Something's going on.
Right. So anything, the next day, Superman...
goes to this pyramid class.
And he's not wearing his cape around his face.
No, because now apparently he doesn't have big black gummy holes.
Well, does he? I mean, we don't get to see.
It's far away.
It's far away, but I just want to imagine that he's standing there at this press conference with no eyes, and everybody's like, like, just vomiting. Like, everybody's just throwing up.
Just big fucking holes in his face.
Yeah. Just big ass holes. And so, you know, everybody's like, it's like, Superman. And Lana's like, Superman seemed normal. I wonder how he did that. And I'm like, well, because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Lana, like, oh, that was normal.
Lana's walking home and she gets
kidnapped
by skull guys. And then meanwhile, as it's night, the skull guys are
breaking into the
breaking
museum.
In. They're like, Super Chump is blind.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so blind. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
But they find out that the thing's been activated.
Yeah.
So they're like, what the fuck?
But as we see that, Superman's actually flying around X-ray visioning things.
Yeah.
And
with his gummy eyeless holes.
And they don't really explain that. They're just like, he's looking for stuff, and he's like, well, I only have a choice. I can either stop the people at the museum, or I can go after Lana. Well, Lana sucks balls because she fucked up my whole plan, but I'm going to go after her anyway.
He sighs.
He does. He's like, ugh.
He goes, so...
fucking Lana.
Guess I have to pick one.
Yeah. So he goes after Lana, who is in the middle of nowhere at this point with these guys.
She's driving. She's hanging out with fucking Penguin and Edward Nygma in their trailer.
Yeah. So he's like, get out of the car, I'm going to shoot you. And she tries to, but she can't open the door. And they're like, you're lying. And they're like, oh, wait, no, I can't open the door either. And then that's when Superman punches through the roof of the car and punches into a man's skull, who really should be dead.
Well, he doesn't punch into his skull. I wish he punched through the hole of the car.
And into that guy's head.
Exploded his brain.
That's what should have happened. If he had that much force, that guy should be dead.
Yeah.
But... he just hits the guy in the head, and then they're like, Superman, but I thought, and he was like, haha, you turkeys. He calls them turkeys. He literally says the word turkey, which I think is hilarious, because my dad used to call me a turkey.
Yeah.
So he, like,
wraps a turkey.
He wraps a bumper around these guys,
How's that one guy still alive, like functional?
They should all be dead.
Yeah, because Superman, what he does to this other guy that runs out of the car...
He sucks him backwards.
He sucks him back and then leaves his fist out and just punches the guy in the back of the head.
Yeah, that guy should be dead!
Like, his neck should be broken. These people, everybody in this thing should be dead.
Yeah.
So.
Should be dead.
This is the Murderverse, so this should be the case.
Yes.
But, anyway, so he's like... She's like, you know, oh, hey, they're going to knock over the museum, so fuck you. And he's like, whatever, we're going to go stop them. And then they head back.
Yeah, but they're already...
They're already there, and Opticus is there, and they're like, well, it looks like the job's been done here, too.
And Lana's like, wait, what? And, of course, she's not asking... Superman, why he doesn't have big eyeless holes.
Yeah, where she's asking about his missing eyes. Like, why don't you have your face wrapped up?
Yeah.
Why come you have eyes again?
And he's like,
I saw them get sucked out of your face.
Yeah, they were saying it was horrifying.
You screamed so loud.
You broke all the eardrums.
You broke my eardrums, and you screamed so loud, and we heard the sucking, and yeah, here you are.
Yeah. When they're like, well, who's Opticus? And it's like, ta-da, it's me, Lois Lane! And they're like, Lois? And she's like, yeah, Lana, Superman asked me to help him pretend that his eyes got sucked out of his face. So he gave Lois a suit. He gave Lois a UFO that he apparently has.
Yeah, wait, did she mention at all the UFO?
Yes. She says, I flew here in the UFO that Superman built.
Oh, that's right.
Their eye-shaped hovercraft Superman built to help in case anything went wrong.
What, just general? Does he have that, like, on hand? Just be like, I need to do an alien ruse?
Here is... And then it explains that, like, it didn't really suck his eyes out. He wore black contacts. But, like, because Superman has all those robots that... Or like him, you know, his like robot clones.
Yeah, he's got robot clones, yeah.
They all have heat vision, so that's what Lois was using in her little helmet. And this...
But also here, too, we also have to point out that with Superman... So Superman went to go save Lana.
Uh-huh.
And then Lois shows up. As Opticus.
Yes.
And she used her heat vision to sever the line that the crooks were using, the line
to crawl
down. And she goes, those crooks, they landed on the floor head first.
They should be dead.
And they, chuckle, have been, quote, sleeping soundly ever since.
No, they're dead.
They're dead. They're dead. They're dead. They had a brain hemorrhage. They are severely concussed, and they're dead.
They're dead. They're not sleeping.
You killed two men. Lois Lane killed two guys.
They're not sleeping. They didn't go to the farm. They're fucking dead.
No, yeah, she killed two men.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we couldn't tell you. We had to do it this way, Lana. We had this crazy fucking plan to get my eyes sucked out of my face because you had a bug on you.
Also,
so instead of just taking your watch and removing the bug, I had a complicated plan that I just came up with that involved Lois flying a UFO and sucking my eyes out of my face.
Lois flying a UFO, and then I gave her a Legion flight ring.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. You gave her a Legion flight ring.
Because that guy's, because Opticus was doing some flying. And then she also wanted to kill somebody, so I let her do this.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a lust for blood.
Yeah.
She is mad with murder.
And I thought it was fun.
And I was like, yeah.
And basically,
yeah.
We fucked her. We did this because you suck, Lana.
You suck.
And like, he's like, I can't trust you, Lana. If I was ever going to trust a woman, be with her, share my life with her, it would be Lois Lane. And that's... Well, that's what he says on the next page.
Yeah, but he's like, he's basically... Yeah, he's just...
Yeah. And he's like, he's basically like, Lois is my ride or die, bitch. And you're not. And
you're not. And you suck ass.
You suck. And Lana's like, I'm leaving forever. But I'm like,
I knew you'd be shitty and ignore me. But this is what you get because me and Lois, we tight.
Yeah. And
it takes more than love to make a relationship work. She calls him a jackass.
And he is a jackass.
You pompous jackass.
Why the fuck would you do this to somebody? Not only that, why this overcomplicated plot where you literally...
When did he rehearse this with Lois? Like, how does Lois know how to do any of this?
Right, it's like, and not only that, but why is Lois okay with it? Like, if somebody comes to you and is like, hey, let's play a trick on somebody, like, everybody, where I get my eyes sucked out of my face.
He grabs Lois.
By a creepy alien
he
man.
He grabs Lois, he's like, hey, look, I got this idea. Why don't you suck my eyes out?
Yeah. We're going to pretend you suck my eyes out, and I'm going to, like, scream like a fucking girl and, like, cry about it because
I'm gonna
I don't have
my
eyes. I'm going to
tie my cape around my eyes, but then I'm also going to, like, go places without my eyes.
And everyone's going to think that I've been blinded by some weird alien who's literally, like, waltzing around sucking the eyes out of people. Like, what? Why? Why would you think that was good? Just because you're like, oh, I could. You had a bug in your watch. I'm like, fucking take the watch. Take the watch.
Do anything else other than what you did.
Yeah. Why? And then not only that, but then at the end when you explain, like, your stupid complicated plan, you're like, by the way, you suck ass. I don't like you anyway. Fuck you, Lana.
Fuck you, Lana. I love Lois. I love the fact that she went along with this.
That she went along with my dumbass plan.
The dumbest plan I probably ever came up with.
And she's like, you're right, I'm leaving. And then
they made a movie out of this asshole.
Superman's a dick. That's the thing. It's like
America.
Superman is
America's dick.
He is a terrible, terrible person. Like, he does this all the time. This is basically any pre-crisis shit. Was just like him fucking pulling one over on, like, all the people closest to him.
Oh, yeah, he would do it all
why?
The time.
Why? Why are
everybody.
Still his
it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It reminds me of this Mr. Show sketch where they kept on trying to stage interventions, but everybody was telling John Ennis, whoever his character, they were telling him that it was some sort of like in order to get him there, they're telling him it was some sort of like crime.
Yeah.
Or something like, it's like, it's a heist. It's because he shows up. He's like, all right, let's do this heist. He's like, no, we're doing an adventure. He's like, what the fuck? You're my friend. You gotta,
right.
Why can't you just tell me?
Yes.
This is what Superman does to everybody all the time. I love these books. I love these stories. But
oh, I do too. But Superman is terrible.
He is awful.
See, this is what I don't understand. Like, I read these and I'm like, how did we ever make this man a hero? This man's not a hero. He's horrible. Like, yeah, oh, he saves the world or, like, whatever. But a lot of the times, a lot of the shit that happens in these books is because he plans it that way. He's this, like, fucked up criminal mastermind who likes to, like, manipulate people's emotions.
Yeah.
And, like, the other thing that really bothers me, and, like, this is also a question that you could lob towards Batman, is if you have all this cool technology and the ability to make a flying saucer... to help people fly, to give people heat vision. Why aren't you sharing that with law enforcement?
Yeah, why aren't you making the world safer?
Exactly. You are one guy. Instead of thinking you're the only person who can do anything, why don't you enable other people to help you?
Yeah.
And they never do.
No,
they're just like, it's only me.
It's only me. It's only
lone wolf.
Me.
I'm an asshole.
And I'm gonna bring this random woman into it, and I'm gonna make it.
I'm just gonna make her feel shitty.
I'm doing it to shame another.
I'm shaming people.
Superman's a bully.
He's absolutely. He's horrible.
He's the world's worst bully.
He is so bad. And I read these, and I'm like, that's right. He is terrible. Especially if you combine them with all the shit that they basically did the same thing in Superboy. So
yeah,
Lana's entire relationship with Superman, Superboy, has just been him making her feel stupid.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you still hanging out with this guy?
Well, apparently here, she gets fed up. She's like,
well,
everybody betrayed me. I fed up with this world.
Good. She needs to, like, go get some
serious
counseling.
She's like, I'm
going to
leave. And they're like, only time and futuristas can say, and then that's it. And, then the next issue has
Mitzi Picklick.
Mitzi Picklick.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Do I want to read that next issue?
I don't know. I probably would.
I'll read any of these.
I love these. I fucking read them all the time, even though I think Superman is a terrible person.
I like reading these. I like, I think this brings Jen a lot of joy.
It really does.
Because
they're
a lot
so
of time,
fucking stupid.
A lot of times Jen is just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I really love how dumb these books are.
But
dumb in the best way.
This is one of the dumbest.
Oh, yeah, but it's great. It's so great.
It is a full-length dumb.
Yeah, no, but I love it. I love it so hard. Even though I still don't understand how for 78 years, we have held this man, this character, up as a hero when he is fucking monster.
He is. Oh, he's terrible.
He's terrible. But we would vote him a hero.
You want to know something that's terrible? Is that we would vote him president.
Of course we would. He's Superman. But he's terrible.
If you could vote him president and he was a real person, we would vote him president.
Absolutely.
But doing all this stuff, and we would have nothing but documented awfulness.
Yeah.
And we would just be like, yeah.
Yeah, oh no, it's Superman. He's great.
He's a great guy.
Superman's a hero. Saves people. But he also fucks with their emotions and their feelings, and he gaslights them from here to there.
Oh,
he's something special.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll do another one of these at some point.
Oh, I have so many of them.
We have so many. Yeah. Anyway, Superman number 334 from April 1979. We both read the next one of these.
Of course.
Of course. We probably do. We probably have it.
I don't know if I own this one. Maybe.
I don't think you have the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And you can also find me on Tumblr at theangryhero.tumblr.com. And please rate and review the show. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. It definitely does help our standings and the ratings. Please tell a friend. And please, join us on Twitter if you want to correct us. You want to talk about Superman? You can do whatever. We're here for you.
Yes, we are.
And yes, today, go vote.
Vote, people.
Vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
Just go vote.
Just go vote.
That'd be fantastic.
Please vote.
And then if you want to feel better about your life, watch the Lego Batman trailer.
Yes, yes.
Because Batman kills a lot of people in that trailer. It's actually hilarious.
It's really funny.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny.
Well, no, it's funny. You can laugh. You're supposed to laugh. You should laugh. You should be laughing a lot.
He incinerates people.
He literally incinerates people. And because that's all Legos is. Like, you can literally just massacre a bunch of Lego people. And they'll just be like, okay. You know? But
yeah, so go vote and then watch the Lego Batman trailer. And yeah, so the next time we do this show, there's going to be a new president. Well, no, not technically, not until January, but.
Well.
The election will be over fucking finally.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm hoping everything will be okay.
I swear to God, I want to run for office. I would never get in because this podcast exists. But I honestly want to run for office, and literally the only thing I want to do is limit campaigns to 6 months.
Good idea. That's it.
I don't want to fucking see you for 2 goddamn years. 6 months, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's my only campaign issue. I don't care about anything else.
That's it.
Yep.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening, and please vote, and we will see you again next time.
Bye.